go on to, I guess the, we're still in the other room in there? Okay, we're going to move on to item 11. Oyster Fishery Public Hearings. Dr. Wesson.
Good afternoon. Hard to believe we've talked this much about oysters and the public stuff. It doesn't, is not controversial. But which one do you want to do first? We have three public hearings.
Your choice.
We can start with just the overall one for the season, if you want.
That'd be fine.
It'd be 7:20. As you recall in that, we've had meetings with the Fish SMAC, came to an agreement that the staff proposed seasons were okay with everybody, reduced the bushel limit from 10 to 8, and that's what we advertised. You'll notice how fat your regulation is. It's because we did a whole lot of cleanup on definitions and descriptions so that they were all consistent, so the regulation will shrink considerably once all the strikeouts are taken out. So, had no comments from anybody.
This being a public, have any questions of Jim at this point? No.
I'll just comment that the decision of the Shellfish Management Advisory Committee was unanimous.
Thank you. That's an important point. This is a public hearing. Is there anyone who wishes to comment on this matter? Changes to Regulation 720. Seeing none, the matter's before the commission.
I'll move approval as recommended by staff.
Second.
Motion to approve the amendments to Regulation 720 by Mr. Fox, seconded by Mr. Tankard. Are there any comments on the motion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion carries. Regulation is approved.
The second one that came out of the setting of seasons would be the one pertaining to shellfish management areas, which is Regulation 560, which is a clam regulation. But because we have done restoration efforts in the York River, we now have oysters on that area, and it's being set into a rotation area. We are advertising to remove the special clam season we have for that area that was starting in August and ran for a couple of months. We had, by code, we could open those areas in the York River to clamming if no oysters were present, and that was the case in the past, but now, since oysters are present, that area needs to be closed to patent calling back for clams.
These are amendments to 560. Are they in our book?
Yes.
Behind 720. They're missing from my book, but that's all right. Any questions of Dr. Wesson? Seeing none, this is a public hearing. Is there any comment on the proposed amendments to Regulation 560? Seeing none, the matter's before the commission.
Move staff recommendation.
Is there a second?
Sorry.
Seconded by Mr. Robbins. Any comment on the motion? Hearing none. All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion carries. 260.
Yes, the final regulation was 260, the pertaining to designation of seed and clean cull areas. And this was the regulation having to do with how oysters are stored on the boat in the harvest practice. We have had many watermen ask us for a lot of years whether they could use baskets instead of the way we call now, where as they're culling, they throw the oysters loose into the inside part of the boat in a pile. And it was passed by the Shellfish Management Committee to allow baskets. And as the commissioner warned at the last meeting that, you know, it's a good idea, but law enforcement had issues with it from the very beginning, and staff has really worked hard. There have been a lot of meetings amongst law enforcement and fisheries and the regulatory review board committee that we have here, and it was the final decision that the allowing the convenience for the industry was outweighed by the being able to get convictions on the culling, the way we do culling, that we were being successful in our getting violations that go all the way through court, and that, so we ended up not including that in any changes in the regulation. The only thing the regulation has in it now are just a few housekeeping changes that we had to make it clearer on some issues.
All right. Any questions? Rick? Mr. Robinson.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. Dr. Weston, can you explain a little bit more in detail the nature of the enforceability concern if the product's in baskets? Is it that product could be, like, undersized product could be
hidden,
put in baskets and then buried under other baskets?
Yeah, it's more clear when the oysters are loose in a pile and they go to shovel out of the pile what they're looking for. I mean, they can kind of open the pile up and see what they have and see if they kind of have a feeling on what how the oysters look. Where if they're in baskets, obviously you can't see but so much in the little cracks of a basket. And it'd kind of be their guess as to which one they would call. And even that the likelihood of people doing violations of small oysters would increase from that.
So you think some sort of random sampling wouldn't be as effective
We talked about a bunch of scenarios, and still at the final end, they were not comfortable that the lack of what we would lose in conservation would not be made up for by the allowing the watermen to more easily handle their catch.
Thank you. You know, one of the complaints I've heard from watermen on the Eastern Shore is that all of a sudden they've got a youngster calling the boat's significant size, and all of a sudden they've got this pile, and the fellow's got some small ones that should have gone over that didn't, just because of his lack of attention. Oysters are coming on board. Officer, MPO, shows up. Uh-oh, these things should have gone overboard. The captain of the boat didn't realize it. I mean, it seems to me that there is, with this looseness, that it makes for a looseness of interpretation or a looseness of enforcement that Eastern Shore watermen seem to be concerned about.
Well, it's tighter with an open pile because they can actually shovel and they level off the tub and they don't.
They are required by the regulation to take that sample from the pile from a single location.
Mm-hmm.
So they can't maneuver around the pile taking and finding small oysters in a way to sort of manufacture a violation.
Okay.
They have to now. They can dig into that pile, and then if they see what looks like a lot of small oysters,
right,
they can choose to take their sample there. But the entire sample has to come from that place in the pile, which I think. I mean, this regulation has been on the books now for decades, and it's, as far as I can tell, proven successful. And I think that's why the law enforcement division was so jealous of it, is that it has been successful in saving small oysters.
Commissioner, I just wanted to add something since Dr. Weston wasn't present, but last Friday I met with all four area captains and most of the sergeants, and also Lieutenant Colonel Rhodes, and they had checked throughout their force to look at this issue, and it was unanimous that they just really could not accept a change to the open pile. The main reason being that the thought was this is something that they have success with. The comments were made that it may take several times before you'll catch someone in violation, but when you catch them, it sticks. And so law enforcement really did not want to lessen that ability to achieve the convictions that Dr. Weston mentioned. We also went through this, as Dr. Weston mentioned, extensively through regulatory review committees. And, you know, it's just something that the comments from law enforcement were, why would you want to change something where we do have such good success when there are other issues that probably should be tackled. So,
thank you. Mr. Shake?
Yeah, now, can these oysters be put in the orange baskets, and then when an inspector, you know, officer comes aboard, they put them in a pile for them to do that?
Not in the regulation as it exists
right
now.
They have to put them in a pile. And then
they have to stay in a pile.
One basket that they use to right judge every time they get a bushel.
Right. But and then they put that in the pile.
Yeah. Any other questions? Let's see. Have I asked for public comment on this? No. Speaking of public hearing, is there any public comment on this matter? Changes to Regulation 260. There are still changes here, but they're mostly edits and improvements to the... Right. Seeing no public comment, the matter's before the commission.
Move to approve.
Motion made by Mr. Tankers, seconded by Mr. Plumlee. Comments on the motion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion carries. Just while we're on, before we leave that issue, I want to make the commission aware that as a result of the discussions that the staff had on these issues, it became apparent to me that we need to take another look at the commission's license revocation policy, which currently says that you have to have 3 violations within a 12-month period. At that point, you get an invite to a commission meeting to consider revocation of your license. And almost always, we simply put that person on probation, allow him to go back out and violate the law again before he gets an invite back to the commission for a real license revocation. So he gets, in a sense, 4 bites of the apple before we do anything with him. And I think you'll agree with me on this, there are certain violations of the law, certainly not all, but some rise to the level of one violation is significant, and certainly 2 is significant and deserves an invitation to the commission. Something like getting caught fishing in a condemned area, or fishing in a sanctuary, or significantly exceeding your catch limit for the day. And so I've asked Mr. O'Reilly to meet with all of our industry advisory committees to discuss some modifications to our policy with them and in fact solicit their ideas on what violations they believe rise to a higher level, and then report back to us with some recommendation by the first of the year. So staff's going to be moving forward with that, and we'll see what kind of recommendations they come up with.
I'd also like to suggest maybe also, instead of waiting 3 on even some of the minor things and then we let them go out, it's a probation situation where, you know, if they violate the probation, it's more than just an invite back. The decision's already made of what we're going to do and that kind of thing. And that kind of maybe might also cut some of that. So if there's a history of this happening year after year, maybe once or twice, you know, if they're a repeat offender, it's an automatic, you know, staff recommendation of probation, or if it's a serious item, then it's...
Exactly.
I'd like that idea.
Ultimately, like to produce a document that we could hand to every member of industry so that they know when they violate a particular law, once, twice, whatever, they know what to expect. As a guideline, there's always extenuating circumstances, but some warning in advance what they can expect.
A matrix, sort of like the habitat violation, perhaps.
Perhaps.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps. And I don't think it would involve a look at every single regulation we have, but the more, you know, the higher priority ones that industry and staff will identify.
Well, while we're on changes, the after the fact applications carries a triple permit fee generally, and it seems to me that that's pretty cheap. to defend if someone does something and then comes and asks for forgiveness, I would rather that forgiveness be pretty damn expensive.
The triple fee component is actually in code.
Yes, continue.
So it would require a code change to address the triple
fee. To go to the big boys.
I would just suggest where we can deal with monetary amounts is through the civil charge component. And of course, we just went through that to raise it and reevaluate what the criteria were, but
the minimum is 1,000 now.
The minimum is 1,000, the max is 10. And if we want, if you feel that it's so egregious that that does not even cover it, the only option we then have is court through civil proceedings for civil penalties. In addition to criminal sanctions, we very rarely, if I don't think we've ever gone criminal, it would mean working with a Commonwealth attorney, but we typically handle it through the civil side. And you could, just keep in mind, you don't have to accept any civil charge. You could decide that, one, you can't have the structure, it's so egregious, it's got to come out, and two, there ought to be some payment of damages either through the civil charge amount up to 10, or if you want it greater, you got to go to court to get it.
Okay. Does that help?
Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Robbins.
I'm just glad Mr. Fox isn't my pastor.
You're going to see him one day.
I'm sorry, Mr.